And another thing, you're listening to kpcradio.com. I'm James. With me today is Robert again.
Hello.
Welcome back, Robert. Glad
Thank
to have you.
You.
It was horrible being last week being alone in here. You know, I did that for a whole season, and, you know, having you here, I'm spoiled to have someone to run ideas off of. I was terrified.
I thought you liked hearing yourself talk.
No, actually, I can't listen to this show. My voice drives me nuts, so. But I want everyone else to like and share. That's the most important thing. I can't listen to me. I need you to listen to me for me.
Fair enough, man.
Help you or something like that. All right, so let's talk. Today is Columbus Day, and you know what that means. We get to celebrate slavery and greed. All right, that's the American way. Seriously, screw Columbus, right? Since I know most people, sadly, don't care about history, I put up a comic from The Oatmeal on our Facebook page explaining why, humorously, why Columbus sucked and why celebrating him sucks more. You should also check out The Oatmeal in general. It's a great comic. It's the main force behind creating the Tesla Museum in Long Island, too. So he has a whole bunch of range of content on there. What do you think about Columbus Day?
It doesn't really matter to me.
Yeah, that's what most people's opinions. It's just and that's not even a day off, is it?
I don't think so.
The mail's going to run today.
Mail's going to run. Government.
Surprisingly.
But it doesn't concern me, really. I don't know.
Yeah, most people don't care. And I don't know if that's what makes it worse for me, that it's celebrating, kind of, slavery. And, you know, the guy came over here and he actually said in his journals, hey, these Native Americans, you know, we can just enslave them with, like, five guys and rifles. It's going to be awesome. We'll make a profit. And no one seems to. Is that good or bad that no one cares?
I mean, if do you call it negligence or
is it good or bad when we ignore evil?
Maybe if I guess we're not celebrating it, really, are we?
I mean, if there was like a Hitler Day and we just didn't care, is that still okay?
I don't know, but you're not popping a champagne bottle open for this.
Yeah,
day.
I know. So I mean, so
it's you're ignoring its existence, I guess.
Let's do that. Let's ignore its existence. Let's move on. And sorry if my voice is a little bad because I was sick over the weekend. So in case I cough or something, sorry about that. Update from last week. I know people are tired of it. But the government is still shut down, as far as I know. That's 2 weeks. The date is the time, because it was the first when it started, so 14 days. And the Republicans are still in denial about it. Republican Lee Terry from Nebraska said dang straight that he would keep his salary, as opposed to donating it to charity, as many other congresspeople have done. He said he needs to pay for his, quote, nice house. I guess the 800,000 houses that aren't getting paid for this month aren't nice. That's nice of him. That's working for the people.
You know what? Honestly, speaking of honesty, at least he's telling the truth. I disagree with him, but he's telling the truth. I'm surprised that he actually said that.
Well, I think it's because his base are kind of that arrogant type, you know, if you're not getting paid anyway, it's probably your fault type thing.
It seems like a horrible PR move, but he actually said that.
That's what I'm saying. It's good PR for his base.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So, I guess, yeah.
And I can't not briefly mention Michelle Bachmann and other Dominionists, that's the Christian Taliban, of course, who are actively, quote, rejoicing in the shutdown, since it will usher in the end times. I'm not even making this up. You don't have to make this stuff up. They just write the material for me. I just have to repeat it, and then that's my show. And, you know, congratulations to them for giving me, you know, this so-called job. All right, so they're the people who Republicans send to work for us. Those are them. That's a good call there. Send the people who want to destroy the world because, hey, you know, Jesus will come back and save us all from the debt ceiling or something. I don't know. That's what they. So enough of that, because I know most of my listeners are bored of that. And I want to. Before we get to our main topic, which is on technology, and this is kind of it because it deals with technology, I want to talk about how argumentative I am just in general. And I guess you'd agree. That's a good word to describe me, right? A lot of people
yes,
use that.
Yes, I agree with you highly here. Strongly agree.
Number five, strongly agree. That's for Bernard's.
which I filled out yesterday.
Right,
I sent it
me
in.
Too. All right. I actually don't get into arguments all the time. You posted a picture, what, two nights ago on your Facebook
last
page?
Night.
Was it last night?
Yesterday morning. Are you talking about the car?
The car, yeah, I'm talking about the car.
Yeah, the old, I don't know what kind of a car it was, the old, like, 1950s vehicle, and I said, I'm glad people still have these cars around or still drive cars like these.
And, of course, the first thing I said.
Aesthetically speaking.
The first thing I said, of course, is because they're inefficient and dangerous.
And I knew you were going to say that. I was waiting.
I love that. Yeah, his next post was, I just knew James was going to say something. When I'm like, oh, you know me so well, Robert. That's why we're so good on the air here. But anyways, so a friend of yours then has to chime in and say, actually, they're really safe. And someone I know next to cousin someone X was in an accident, and he was perfectly okay. And I didn't get into an argument with that, even though what he said was stupid.
Because it was my friend, and I appreciate it.
And it's not just because it was your friend, because it was on your wall, too, right?
Yeah.
Like, if we bump into one of your friends outside, and I think someone says something stupid, I'm like, well, He's talking to his friend. I'll let it go. I don't need to argue all the time with everyone. One, that's what I have the show for. So, yay.
Exactly.
So, and some might say, is that talking behind his back? I don't know. I didn't say his name. You know, and who cares? Maybe he cares. I don't know. Some people are weird like that. But you can't. But I'll mention this just because I think it's important in general, too. You should go to YouTube and look up Crash Test 1959 Chevy Bel Air versus 2009 Chevy Malibu. And it will show you proof positive that any car made before, like, the 60s, maybe the 70s, too, is literally a death trap. There's cameras inside the two cars that they crash together. It's a really cool crash, too. Isn't it weird that crashes look so cool, like simulated, but you know that if that happened in real life, you'd be utterly horrified?
Yeah, you wouldn't want to see
that. Mysteries of fiction we'll leave for another show, right?
That's interesting.
Okay, so the cameras are inside, and inside the 2009 car, it barely looks like an accident has even happened. You know, the airbags deploy and the windshield kind of cracks. But that's all. Like, the rest of the cabin and the drivers kind of bounce around a little. But there's nothing really to say an accident happened other than a little jostling and the airbags deploying. Inside the cabin for the 59 Bel Air, everything, including the driver, is crushed. Completely and utterly compacted. And it's just so mind-blowing that people just drove around in those for half a century, part of the century, without like seatbelts and traffic lights. It's crazy. All right, so I got that off my chest. That's what my show is for, not your Facebook page. Main topic. Yeah, I'm sure you're very
glad you acknowledged it. Yay. Like it, everyone.
Main topic: are we addicted to technology? That's been something I've been hearing recently and for the past few years. Sometimes, and Robert loves this word, especially when I tease him that he's one. Hipsters. Because Robert loves being called a hipster.
No, I don't. And please never do it, because it'll be a violent altercation between you and me.
Well, now that's not a hipster. I like that.
Okay. So I'm just warning you.
Whoa, deadly words from Robert Oven. Okay. So there are two main points to discuss. One being this absurd hippie/hipster-like reaction to people using smartphones. And another, which is a legitimate claim of usage of technology. I'm going to give you a quick rant first. Let me tell you what I think. And then you respond. Firstly, I'm sick of these so-called enlightened artistic types. Oh, man, Facebook is the devil. It's going to ruin culture. It makes people not talk in person and all asocial. That's because you're a moron. I don't want to talk to you. That's a main deduction most people don't get. When you see that your kids or your spouse or your friends are ignoring you and on their phone, the first inference you should make isn't that they're addicted. It's that you're boring as hell. And that they found a way to fill that boredom. Two, and this is in defense of the boring person, maybe, the person being ignored, it's not addiction, per se, even if you aren't boring. It's just plain rudeness. People were rude decades ago, they're rude now, but now, instead of people just having to pretend to listen to each other, you can visibly see they're not. Nothing's changed. The more things change, the more things stay the same. What do you think about that?
I have no remarks.
No remarks.
No, I'm kidding. Okay. I don't know about that. I think you're right. If you define it that way, it's not an actual addiction by definition.
It's not something people need to do.
Yeah, it does give the appearance of it. I had the iPhone for like a year. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, my life was a little bit easier in this sense. Mm. When people sent me emails and when people sent me Facebook posts, I would never see them until I got home. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't have to deal with all that crap and the drama and the nonsense constantly back and forth. Like my page, do this, do that,
And another thing, of course, you have to like that page.
Yeah,
obviously.
Of course. But I didn't have to deal. Somebody's like, did you not see the Facebook post I put about you? Like, that's awesome. I'm like, you know, I didn't. And it was great because I was not popping this thing out constantly, playing with it every minute of the day. Mm-hmm. And it was great. But there is also the other side where it's like I couldn't get anywhere without printing out locations from MapQuest. Now I can by a click of a button on my phone.
You know, and when I was your age, we'd actually go driving without cell phones.
Ooh. Oh, well, yeah. I mean, they were better versed in directions. They knew maps. Wow, what a novel concept, maps, right?
And another thing, I have to, just because you reminded my head, you have to rewatch all these horror movies from the 70s and 80s, and you will not believe how funny it is when you, wait, why isn't she just calling the cops on her cell? She's just in the woods.
Yeah, I know. It's we've gotten spoiled. But I think there is an issue when you go out with friends, and I'm guilty of this. You're sitting around them, you're getting ready to eat dinner, and everybody every 5 seconds is looking down at their phones and nobody's talking to each other. That is, to me, annoying. It's not even about rudeness. It's just annoying. It's like I'm sitting here having dinner with you and all I'm doing is looking at my phone and all you're doing is looking at the phone. And that kind of pisses me off. It's like, what the hell is so important on your phone? Mm-hmm. What you're going to have to see a picture of somebody's breast that somebody put up? Oh, Miley Cyrus did this.
Oh, well, not hers.
It doesn't matter. It's like it's garbage.
That's my
issue with it.
Right, that's what I was talking about. It's not really addiction so much as that, one, maybe you don't like the fact that they think you're boring, and two, they're expressing it through sheer rudeness. I mean, it's a mixture of the two. You know, maybe you're not boring, and I don't think you're boring. You're on the show, so you know,
I'm sorry. That is the funniest. I can't. I have to turn away. I'm gonna laugh.
You're laughing that I think you're awesome.
No, the way you said it. You're on the show after all.
Yeah, I'm on the show, and I'm not boring.
But the thing is, silences, those moments when we don't say anything. I had dinner with my brother when we were up in Berkeley. We're really close, and I could sit down with him, and sometimes we just will eat.
Yeah.
And we're fine with that. And he didn't look at his phone. I didn't look. But it was just like, hey, we're fine with silence.
Well, you know what my wife and I do is whenever we go out to eat, we bring a book. And we actually just sit and read while we're waiting for our food. And a lot of couples would tell us, what do you do that for? You're supposed to go out and talk. And we're like, what are you talking about? We talk at home all the time.
Yeah.
And it was funny because it seemed backwards that they're the ones who actually don't talk. And they have to force each other to talk by going to this setting
that
where they
have
no phones, no TV. And, you know, my wife and I talk all the time, you know, and so when we go to the restaurant, it's like, oh, it's nice and quiet. Let's just read.
That's interesting. I mean, people expect you to conversate about random, like, how's your girlfriend?
Yeah.
How's your best friend? How's your job? But what if somebody were to, now on the flip side, what if somebody were to, instead bringing a book, read that book on their iPhone? That wouldn't be such a bad thing, would it?
I don't think so. If it's a book, I have complained to my wife about putting her phone down, but it's not for the phone and it's not for reading. It's because I know she's reading work emails, and that drives me nuts.
See, that's the thing.
We're at the restaurant. You don't work. But I know what you're talking about is most people don't work. My wife has this weird condition called work ethic, and luckily I didn't get that genetically. It passed over from my dad's generation. So I don't have to worry about caring about work. But my wife apparently cares about work. So she's always on her phone, you know, looking at the emails, and that drives me nuts. But I think that's me being just, you know, lazy. So I don't think I can blame her for that. But so what you're talking about, and what I was talking about initially was, you know, the Facebook stuff, right? When you're texting other people, when you're supposed to be talking to the person in front of you, when you're at the dinner table with friends and you're supposed to be hanging out, and they're texting and Facebooking, not talking to the person in front of them. That's just either rudeness or misplaced boredom. I don't know what else to make of that. But calling it addiction is just too much for me.
Yeah, I think you're right. Addiction is the extreme word.
But there is a point to be made about addiction itself, is that we could overuse it. And that's the second point about usage itself. Do you think people use Facebook too much to the point where maybe it could be called addiction? So it seems like maybe I'm contradicting myself that it could be addiction. My point was that most of it isn't. But I know that it can be. You can be addicted to most anything, whether it's food or drugs or pornography. People say, oh, you can't be addicted to porn. Of course you'd be addicted to
porn.
Yeah,
of course.
You watch it literally all day for hours and hours. But that's anything at all. And I know I'm addicted to YouTube. And I justify it to myself by saying, oh, I watch all these interesting science shows like New Scientist and I Effing Love Science. I think a lot of people know that one from Facebook. And, I have a whole list, dozens of channels that I watch from YouTube on this type of stuff. And I'll spend hours watching these videos and I justify it by saying, oh, well, I'm learning stuff, supposedly, right? But at the same time, my textbook for school is sitting right there on my desk and I'm not reading it, even though I have problems due the next day. So even if I'm learning something, you can't always justify the fact that it's a distraction. And I think that's what the main problem is with technology. Not so much the addiction, it's the distraction.
Right.
And you were saying something about that earlier, too. Before you had the phone, you were able to get more done.
Yeah, I could just read. My mind was not concerned with all this clutter. Mm-hmm. That was the thing. Because I had no access to it. That's all. I had no access to check my email every minute. And people wouldn't bug me. And I guess for some employers or some if you're in a group that needs to get work done, people want you to check your email constantly. But I think everyone's afraid to admit that, you know what? I hate work and I don't want to. There is a point where I do not want to be bothered with work. I want to go home, have a drink, and listen to some music and chill with my, whether it's my wife or my dog or whatever, for a few minutes before proceeding with the rest of the day. But everybody can get you today. Everybody. They're like, hey, James, why haven't you done this report? You have a phone after all. On your phone, you have Microsoft Word after all. And it's just like, can't we admit that we want to be left alone at least a little bit?
I remember the first time I called in sick to one of my major jobs in my career. It wasn't my first job. And I called in, I was like really sick. Like I was not lying at all. I was dripping everywhere. I was gross. And so I come in because I was kind of okay in the morning. I thought I'd make through. But by the time I got to the office, I was gone. I couldn't breathe. I was dripping everywhere. That's mucus from my nose, in case. Because that sounds weird.
Just
saying,
thanks for the clarification.
Yeah. So I say, oh, I'm sorry. I know I just got here, but I just can't stay. And the first thing my boss does says, okay. And he shoves a laptop in my face. Says, all right, do your work at home. And I just go, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I don't say it to his face, but I go, I'm grumbling all the way home.
Office space moment. Office space moment.
Yeah, really. Right? You know, and I go home and I do, and I go, I'm doing the work. I should be in bed. Where's my mom? Give me some soup. But anyways, I think that was a little off topic. Okay. All right, so get me back on topic.
But that's the point. Distraction.
Distraction.
It's a distraction. It's a hindrance in your life. That's the issue.
So can we just get rid of that distraction, though? And where does that distraction come from? That's what I was going to say. We're in the information age, right? And I was reading something on Facebook, of course. Where else do I find all these tidbits? Is that supposedly the human race, as an entire planet, is generating as much information, however they define it, in 2 days, I think it was, which is equivalent to the amount of information generated by the entire human species up until 2003. So that's like 10 or 100,000 years, depending on what you want to say, these sort of informations. Let's say thousands of years, all that information equals today and tomorrow. That's how much information is being poured onto the internet. There's something like billions of photos that are on the internet, newly uploaded every like day or week or something like that. That's an insane amount of so-called information. And I think the one takeaway we have from distractions and so-called technology addiction is that we're learning how utterly unimportant, banal, and just boring most people are. And I think that that's really disturbing a culture like America's, where we're supposed to all be exceptional with our 15 minutes of fame and everyone has the American dream. I think most people are terrified to think that they're boring. Which you probably are. I know I'm boring most of the time. Yeah, who should care? I mean, but the point is that we think we're not boring, and that's why we say, you know, oh, I had lunch at Denny's today. Oh, I don't care, dude. It's like, oh, I'm off to work today. No crap. So am I. So is 300 million.
The sun rose.
Did it really? Thanks for tweeting that. You know, how much of this information do we need to know? And I think most people just can't get over the fact that, one, they're not as interesting as they think they are, which is why people might be texting when they're supposed to be listening to you, maybe. Maybe they don't want to listen to you and they don't know how to tell you. And the stuff they're actually doing on the phone while they're ignoring you, I guarantee you, is just as boring as you were going to be. There's nothing really to it. So what do we take away from this? Should we just cut away and just get rid of all the phones, get rid of all the technology?
No. I want to say this just to clarify. I'm not against having a phone like this. I love it. I love the fact that I can access maps and get food ratings for restaurants I want to go
that's
to.
That's nifty stuff.
And on Facebook, I like having Facebook because my friends send me some really interesting links on Facebook. Check out this explanation of this film. Or
you
check
mean like
out
the link I put on our Facebook page?
Yeah.
Oh, that like people should check out?
Yeah, that link.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The
but you get good messages from people sometimes. One of my professors messages me about a discussion he does about feminism and this and that. It's great. I like it. I'm just saying that maybe we should go and play outside a little bit more again. Because I came from that era, and I would always play outside and get dirty. So it was kind of cool to have that, and I still try to do it. Maybe just a little less of this, oh, guess what? I just walked into a store. Hashtag BS, BS, BS. Like it, please, 1,000 times so I can be happy.
I'm totally going to start hashtagging BS, BS,
BS. Right. It's like what else do you – how relevant is this?
It's not relevant
people
at all.
People used to
– But people think it's relevant.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Maybe just spend a little less time. No, don't cut it out. I don't want an extreme thing. Yeah. This has certainly helped us to have these phones in some way, right?
Right. Let's move on to another point, which is that literally technology is bad itself and that we literally have too much technology. You know, it's the people who talk about, you know, the Terminator movies as if that's actually a prophecy they heard in the 80s. Like, that's actually going to happen. It's going, like, not that it's going to happen, but that it has to happen, that technology necessarily leads to us destroying ourselves. Those types of claims, and this is as a scientist, science major, I don't know, maybe it's too presumptuous to call myself a scientist right now, but I am an engineer.
I accept.
Thank you. My ego just keeps getting bigger on this show. I love it. All right. So, as in that profession, it really irks me that people will take engineering and science and say it necessarily leads to evil, which is what some of the Dominionists do, tying back to our update earlier, because it is not the technology itself. Because and this was what you thought was funny when we were talking about what to do for this show. As I said, everything is technology. Literally. I don't mean that figuratively. It's not an exaggeration. Everything is. Look around. Wherever you are right now listening to this, you're listening to this. There you go. You're listening to my voice is being converted into digital signals, into analog, blah, 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 internet, satellites. You know how it works, hopefully. And now you're listening. Everything is technology. And I said, even shoes are technology. You know, 5,000 years ago, there was probably some hipster caveman, you know, ugh, shoes, bad, ruining culture. And, you know, the guy who's wearing shoes is like, dude, I'm able to walk on rocks now. What are you talking about? The shoes are amazing. And I still don't think the shoes is too much of a stretch for comparing it to the phones and even to atomic bombs. Humans literally cannot live without technology today. Fire is a technology. Heat, you know, heating, that's technology.
Yeah.
Clothing. You know, all that stuff is not even just things are technology. Technology is defined, I believe, as the tools and the knowledge to use the tools. So just cooking, that's technology. Everything's technology. So when people say, oh, technology is bad, I really just want to rip all their clothes off in a very non-erotic way and just say there, now you're not burned by technology anymore. Go find a cave and have fun. But don't use a spear. You know, you got to just, like, catch fish like Gollum with your bare hands and you'll eat them raw and wriggling because... That's what the world is without technology.
You're still using your hand as technology?
That's not...
I know, no, I'm just messing around.
Chop off your hands if you want to be totally hipster. Chop off your... And don't talk, of course, because speech is technology. You know, anything more than pointing to the berries going, ugh, food, and pointing to the cat and going, ugh, run, that's technology.
The only thing is, James, they think those people are always talking about the, I'm going to forgive me for doing it this way, but the technology with all the bright buttons and the like R2-D2 sounds.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're worried about is like, there you go. You do a better job of that. Robots. So that's the kind, I mean, I don't know if you can conquer a civilization with a shoe. Then again,
but
you have.
I imagine the first army with shoes.
We completely
destroyed that army without shoes.
You have conquered a civilization. I mean, wearing shoes made you move over things faster without pricking your feet and getting infections and dying.
You can move faster and longer.
Yeah, and so but oh my goodness me!
Can't be too serious here.
Yeah, but I think they're talking about the computers and their over exaggeration to someday we'll turn into robots and the world will be. I mean, who knows?
But, this just popped in my head, and I gotta say, there's this old country song. I'm old. This song is not. Oh, it's only like 7 years old. This song, "A Country Boy Can't Survive." Have you ever heard this country song?
No, I have.
Good, because it stinks. It's about how one country guy's like, "Oh, you got city folk with your, you know, supposedly cars and hot water." The way he talks, "Oh, you guys are so reliant on technology. You city folk don't know how to do anything." Supposedly, he has a friend in New York, and he was like mugged and stabbed for $3. And like, oh, doesn't city life suck? I'm like, some friend, you're mocking how he was killed in the city. But then he talks, oh, a country boy can survive because I can pitch a fence and I could take care of the hogs and I can shoot my own. And the whole time I'm going, you moron. Do you not know that the fence you're supposedly putting up, do you know how to make a fence? Robert, can you make a fence from scratch?
No. Tell me
step one.
I don't know.
Step one is mining the ore, then smelting the ore, then running it through a sieve. This country boy cannot do that. So even when people fantasize, today we are so technologically advanced that when we fantasize about prehistoric times, it's still technologically advanced.
That's funny. That's a good line.
All right, so we're wrapping up right now. Thank you for listening. I'm James. With me has been Robert.
Thanks for coming back.
Today's tweet of the week is, if you can never be serious, I can never take you seriously. And if you can never be silly, I can never take you seriously. Thanks for listening.